Grace and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. Status quo. You know what that means, right? The existing condition or state of affairs. Or as we might say in everyday English, keeping things the same, unchanging. Status quo is also the name of a document dating from 1757. It's between six branches of Christianity, and it concerns sites in both Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Now, it came about as a decree from the Ottoman Sultan Osman III, and it says that it preserves the division of ownership and responsibilities of various important sites and represented agreements that nothing could be changed from the way it was without upsetting the balance of order. It was reaffirmed in 1852 and again in 1853 and has been in effect ever since. It concerns six branches of Christianity: Greek Orthodox, Armenian Apostolic, Roman Catholic, Coptic Orthodox, Syriac Orthodox, and Ethiopian Orthodox. And while the intention behind the status quo document appears to be a good idea, that is, hold the peace, the reality is that these believers in Christ Jesus simply cannot get along. They hold on to their way of doing things, and of course, their way is the only true and right way. It's a good thing that Lutherans aren't like that. As example, you may be familiar with the immovable ladder at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That's the burial place of Jesus. He was taken down from the cross, put in the tomb. It's in Jerusalem. That ladder has been in the same place, on the same ledge, on the outside of that church building since at least 1757. There's a railing built around it so that no one can get to it. None of the groups, none of those six groups, know for certain who it was that put it there or why it is there. All they know is that because of the status quo document, none of them are allowed to touch it. And so it sits there on the side of the building, unmoving, on a ledge, as a wonderful, visible example to the entire world about how Christians cannot get along with each other. The status quo. The status quo of Jerusalem means nothing ever changes. Is that what faith calls us to? Never changing anything? Keeping everything absolutely the same? Even when no one can no longer remember why we're doing something, or whenever it is that we are doing is no longer achieving anything good? In our Hebrews reading, we're given the example of Abraham and Sarah. Now, hopefully you remember that story. It happens way back in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham and Sarah are chosen by the Lord God because of their faithfulness. And God tells them to leave their homeland, walk 300 miles west to a place that they've probably never heard of in order to start a new life. God called them to pull up stakes, gather their livestock, get all of their employees, everything that they own, leave all that they've ever known, and go someplace different. God called them to start a new venture, to build something new. Were they afraid? Well, yeah, probably. Yet they responded in faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised in a foreign land, living in tents. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. And what is faith? Back in verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And did you pay attention to what Jesus had to say about faith when he was talking to the disciples? Sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, get ready for action, and always be on the alert, because you never know what's going to happen. And in the midst of all of that change and upheaval and preparedness, Jesus tells them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock. Yet how can we not be afraid in this day, in this country, when we can't even safely go grocery shopping? How do we not fear when all we're trying to do is have a nice evening out with friends or loved ones and someone with a grudge opens fire? How are we supposed to not be afraid if we can't even celebrate the latest harvest in safety without worrying if a really angry individual is going to show up? Last week, our entire country had our faith shaken once again with shootings in Gilroy and El Paso and Dayton, murderous outpourings by misguided individuals with warped ideologies, once again causing hurt and anger and loss of life. Children became orphans, families lost caregivers. Society has been deprived of productive citizens simply because someone has a distorted view of what a human being truly is. Even so, Jesus tells the disciples, and therefore tells us, rock the status quo. Shake things up. Be like Abraham and Sarah. Step out in faith. Don't be afraid. Change is part of life. We're born, we grow, we learn to walk, to talk, to feed ourselves. We learn how to express our thoughts and our emotions. We learn how to love, and yes, we learn how to be afraid. We expand our minds and our experiences. We can't do that with a status quo. Change can be scary because it's new or different. And that's part of the reason why we're often afraid of change. Yet, do you know what happens when we don't change? When we don't strive to make things better? What happens when we strive to make everything the status quo? Without change, what happens? Nothing. Nothing grows. Nothing changes. Everything is always the same. And then we die. John Steinbeck once wrote, "A dying people tolerates the present, rejects the future, and finds its satisfactions in past greatness and half-remembered glory." That's the status quo, living in the past. Faith is not calling us to live in the past. Our faith needs to constantly be growing and changing. Jesus tells us not to be afraid. Hebrews tells us to embrace the change that comes from God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Amen.